Welcome to my podcast. My name is Simon, and I am joined here with Chuck Cadis. How are you doing, Chuck?
I'm doing well, Simon. How are you?
I'm doing well as well. And Chuck is a former Harvard and Cal Berkeley NCAA swimmer, and right now he's working on an awesome company called BODBOX. And Chuck, how about we start off with just giving a little background on your swimming career?
Of course. So I grew up swimming, started around the age of 5 or 6, and was always ultra competitive. And then I just stuck with the sport and gradually worked my way up and continued to progress to the point where I was able to go compete at Harvard. I trained there for 2.5 years, transferred to Berkeley. That year I transferred, we actually had the opportunity to win the national championship. And then from that point, I continued swimming professionally and building other companies, a little bit past 2016. And, I'm still swimming today, so.
Yeah, so were you on Nation's Capital Swim Club?
I was. So that was my club team through high school and really formative years. So I really love that club team, and especially John Flanagan as a coach really was incredibly important to my career and, in and out of the pool.
Uh-huh. And I started swimming around like 7, started at a summer swim team, and I started competitively swimming at the age of 11 by joining a small club team called Snow Swimming. And after 1 year, I just transferred to, back then it was called Curl Burke Swim Club, but now it's Nation's Capital, and been swimming there since. Really loved the team. It's a pretty big team. There's 13 different sites, all in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, and got recruited to swim at Virginia Tech, and now I'm here in my last couple months of my swimming career.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting, man. It's cool to see you progress, too. You trained with Robbie, is that correct?
Yeah, Robbie Robin.
Okay, cool. Yeah, incredible guy, and there's such a pool of talent in the D.C. area because of NCAP, which is pretty incredible.
Uh-huh. And so what made you transfer from Harvard to Cal?
At the time, our head coach left, Coach Tim Murphy, to go coach at Penn State. And I sort of saw an opportunity to jump to the next level competitively in the sport. And I knew that at that point, if I was going to continue swimming, mm-hmm. I was going to make a push to be as great as I could be at the sport. Mm-hmm. Because simultaneously, I was building an education tech company, and there was sort of there were two paths I could take, where we had various investment offers on the table, but with the stipulation that I would stop swimming and stop going to school.
Uh-huh.
So, an awesome opportunity, but I realized I wanted to finish and take that opportunity to see how far I could go in the sport while, I was physically capable. It ended up working out well, not the normal pathway. I think when I submitted my transfer form at Harvard, they thought it was fake because they'd never seen anyone transfer out of the school.
Oh my, yeah.
Just, not a common thing, but on your part, did you know that Virginia Tech was a top pick, or how did that sort of work out?
Yeah, so I had 6 schools on my list. They were West Point, Naval Academy, Columbia University, UVA, Virginia Tech, and Georgia Tech. And I think I took 4 or 5 official visits, and Virginia Tech was my last one. So once I got on the trip, I met the team. I fell in love with the coaches and just the team atmosphere, just getting to know a lot of people, and I ended up committing right on the spot on my visit.
Awesome.
And and then also 2 years in, our longtime head coach Ned Skinner resigned, so that's when Sergio took the place, and it was a very exciting step forward. Everyone knew he was USA junior national team coach, the Singapore national team, and Olympic bronze medalist in the 200 breaststroke. So we were very excited, and I've been training like the best so far I've had in my career, and I'm excited to end my championship season with him and just kind of absorb it all in before it ends. So very exciting part.
You gotta enjoy it, man. But that's fantastic. Sergio is an incredible coach. I'm happy to hear that you're doing so well.
And then I remember when you were here training with us, we had a set in the beginning, towards the beginning of the year. It was like a couple 50s fast, and I was almost keeping up with you. And at that time, my breaststroke was not as strong, so that was the practice I definitely will remember for a long time, because, you know, I knew who you were, and I was just keeping very close to you, and I was just had a great practice.
That's exciting. That's how it's supposed to be. I'm glad we can push each other. And yeah, I see Sergio and, you know, even other coaches along our path through NCAP all the way up to Dave Durden. I think they're very good at cultivating that environment, so you can push each other and feel good about that. You know, whether you win or lose in a set, it's more about being able to push someone to a new level or somewhere they didn't think they could go.
Yeah.
So it's cool. You know, it's cool to hear that.
So right now you're focusing on BOD Box.
Correct.
Are you doing any training?
Yes. I'm doing more weight training and shorter swimming with the intent of keeping my feel for the water through this phase. And of course, I just love being in the pool. And it's a great reset from the work of building a successful startup company. So it is my focus. BODBOX is my prime focus. We just finalized our pre-production or production ready units, so that's very exciting. Our app is there. We're running a bunch of demos for various groups and athletes that are interested in that, and you know, it's a really exciting time. So to be able to balance that and you know, balance those things with the sales and with building to our next level, I realized that it was very key for me to prioritize that. You know, but still, like I said, keep swimming on the plate, on the back burner for now, and realize that, you know, if it's 3 months out from Olympic trials, if it's next year, you know, with the ISL league, I fully intend to be back in the water and push myself, because that's what I love doing. But it's really about timing and being able to balance these things, you know, with the proper respect and focus for each of them.
Right. What's your schedule heading to the summer and the end of this year?
Swimming wise, or you know, company wise?
Yeah, swimming wise.
So like I said, I'll be here. I was actually training with John Flanagan, and for now he's assisting by providing workouts and keeping me on that pathway, so that within, like I said, 3 months out from Olympic trials, I'll basically be making a decision on how much time I do commit to the water and how much time is feasible to commit at that point based on the stage of the company. You know, so we're looking at my goal as a you know, as a corporation right now, is to based off of our successful demos and sales with this production ready unit, utilize that to showcase our traction in the market, and then build much larger so that we have a full-time team of 5 to 10 individuals. So if, you know, if we're at a point where I can manage to swim that much, I will. Otherwise, you know, I'll continue to keep it light and focus on the weight training, with the intent that through the summer I build back up in the pool.
So I wanted to get more into the company BODBOX. When are you one of the co-founders?
started out as me in a one-room little bedroom in Berkeley, hand-building the units and, you know, teaching myself everything from Python to JavaScript to make things work. Mm-hmm. And, I started with a Kickstarter, and we just built from there. Gradually launched our website, sold units through the website to individuals and different athletes who were just interested in this new approach, you know, really a new approach focused on the quality of your movement and what your form looks like and how well you're performing each movement during a workout. Mm-hmm. So it's a very unique approach, but I was the founder. Now we have a larger team, a group of individuals who are working, you know, not all full time, but enough to really build to this next level. But I think you have that entrepreneurial spirit too, right? You're running your YouTube channel as well.
Yeah, I have a Rubik's Cube channel and a swim YouTube channel. And yes, I want to try to make a side hustle out of those two.
Cool, fantastic. How is it running, just out of curiosity real quick? Maybe interesting for some people who might be listening is if you're a swimmer and want to create that content and you're in college, do you have to kind of be careful with what you're putting up there, or
yes,
how does that work? Can you film anything, or you need to be sort of strategic with that?
Yes, definitely. Actually, last year, the NCAA passed like a new rule that starting in 2021 or maybe in later years, student athlete will be able to make money off their name, their likeness, their image. But as of right now, as a student athlete, I'm not able to profit from any money just from saying that, oh, I swim at Virginia Tech, I'm part of a college swim team. You can't make any money. So that's why I separated my channel. I am earning YouTube revenues through my Rubik's Cube channel. And I signed a NCAA waiver back in 2017 when a licensing company approached me to license my viral video of me solving a big Rubik's Cube. And I talked to compliance, I talked to my coaches back then, and they got all the paperwork done and just told me you can't put any, oh, Virginia Tech athlete, Virginia Tech swimmer, college swimmer on my Rubik's Cube channel. So as long as I'm following those rules and directions, I'm okay with earning some money. And I know a couple people have been like having a separate Instagram account, like an influencer account, so they can like affiliate market different product they like, and just keep separate Instagram accounts, YouTube accounts, or any business account that they have, making money separating from the student athlete part. So that's where I am at right now. But I'm really excited when they announce that athletes will be able to profit from their images. So yes, that's a very exciting step for the NCAA and everyone else.
Very cool. And you made it without that, so imagine incorporating that into... How many views did you end up with? And was that a 64 by 64 Rubik's Cube?
So it was a 13 by 13 Rubik's Cube. And
oh, I see.
I ended up with more than 16 million views on YouTube.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. So I have a question about BODBOX. Once I receive the package, I set it up. What does BODBOX do? Can you tell the audience a little about the?
Of course, yeah. Specs? So you'll receive the BODBOX in a training shirt, and you'll wear this training shirt. Log into the app. You enter information that we believe is important in determining your quality of movement and what workout is ideal for you. So, that includes age, height, weight, sex, previous training experience, ultimately goals. And those things are incorporated into our algorithms. But once you open the app, you'll receive your first training session. You turn on the BODBOX, it's super easy. And then you just start performing the movements one at a time. And it's really cool because what it's doing is it's taking you through the workout one step at a time. And as you proceed through the workout, it's analyzing your form for each movement. And then at the end, it's going to give you a breakdown of how well you performed each individual movement, as well as an overall ranking for your workout. Mm-hmm. So the cool part about that is it gives you, it doesn't just track your form. It doesn't just track metrics about you, but it's actually giving you actionable feedback that says, you know, that will guide you in terms of what you should be working on, where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are. So whether that's you as an individual using it, a coach using it, you know, a high-end personal trainer using it, or a pro athlete, you know, strength coach applying this, it basically is the equivalent of hundreds of coaches' eyes on your movement all at the same time. And that's the cool part about the artificial intelligence we built, incorporating a multitude of different athletes and coaches in order to determine what your best, you know, what your form is looking like. And based off of that, the workouts actually change. So your next workout is going to be more optimized, and that process just iterates over and over as you move through the workouts. So you just get stronger and more efficient as you progress.
Uh-huh. So does it tell you the weight, like if I squat, what weight I should use?
So we'll be introducing updates along the way. In the first version, the majority of movements are very simple. So it's general movements that you could do with or without weight. And we leave that up to the individual based on their previous experience, at least in the current version. But over the next few months, as we ship the units, we'll be introducing updates that include specific weights for the individual.
Mm-hmm. So does this shirt contain any electronics? Is that how you guys track the movements?
No, we're using computer vision to track the core position based off of the color that the user is wearing. Mm-hmm. So the shirt is really just a cool, like BODBOX exclusive training gear. Mm-hmm. And we're actually looking at doing some really cool collaborations with various companies and designers in terms of have that shirt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I won't reveal too much about that, but it's going to be very cool when that does ship. And like I said, it's operating based off of that color. So, there are no, you know, special electronics. There's nothing that's going to weigh you down or change how you normally train.
And when the first workout for the BODBOX, are you able to select the intensity level?
Yes. So the intensity level is determined on sign up. You're based on that information, we're determining an ideal intensity level for you. And that's as simple. In some of the versions of our app, that was really as simple as just the number of years of training experience you've had, or whether you consider yourself beginner, intermediate, or advanced in the weight room. Mm-hmm. So we're taking those things into account, and it's really cool to see, you know, the number of pieces of information that we can combine here in terms of determining those factors that we can combine in terms of determining your ideal workout. Right. It's really the next step, as opposed to just tracking the metrics. We're leveraging that to push your workout to the next level.
Oh, that's cool. And I know there's a couple weight rooms, college weight rooms that I've seen where they have like bands attached to the barbell, and when you do power cleans or squats or bench, they can track like the velocity, the meters per second. That's pretty cool in the like the more advanced. I know here at Virginia Tech, we quite don't have that. We're still on paper. There's nothing digital, but on BODBOX, so it tracks like the velocity and how fast you're moving, the performance of the workout. Is that all included?
Yes. So we have the capacity to show the velocity metrics. Those are being included in the analysis we're doing in the current version. Some of these details, this is a thing, is we're always evolving. And based off of the feedback we're receiving from user test groups, we're determining which things are most important to include. is really cool. We decided that in this version we didn't want to get too into it, because I know from experience at Berkeley as an athlete that a lot of our athletes would get very competitive over those specific numbers, whereas the more important concept in terms of overall strength and you know, our success in the pool was the quality of movement that, you know, was occurring versus how fast you can move the weight. Although that is kind of a cool thing. And it's very, very fun. But yes, there's a multitude of different technologies that I think are very exciting. And whether it's a simple accelerometer or, like you were mentioning, I think those can be embedded very easily in different bands and pieces of weight room equipment. I think all of those can be, maybe the word is amalgamated or just combined into a more collective solution. So I love hearing about that stuff. And you guys just got a new weight room, right?
Yes, we did. And it's like very awesome, refurnished, and looks very pretty.
It looks gorgeous, yeah. So I'll have to stop by with some of our latest technology at some point. I talked to Sergio about doing this, and you know, I'm excited to kind of showcase, you know, ways that we can help you guys as well.
Yeah. All right, we're running close to the end time. There's one last question I want to get to, and it's swimming related. What is one tip you have regarding taper? And I guess I'll start. One tip is to just really focus on yourself and stay the course. I know from our taper experiences we've gone through, there's good days, there's bad days. Some days you're hitting your race pace with minimum effort. Some days you're going all out and just missing your race pace. So I guess the mood, the emotion changes, but just keeping the course, and eventually you'll get to the first day of the meet and you'll hopefully swim fast. So I guess just not worrying about like one bad practice you have for the week and just keep going.
Yeah, and I'm confident with all of the training that you guys have been doing with Sergio, you will swim fast. I think you should be really excited about that. Especially your senior year, this is the perfect time to have some big time swims, man.
Yeah.
I would say from my experience in the sport, keeping things very simple. We actually, one of the things I love that they did at Berkeley, and I wish I still had this piece of paper, but it was a simple checklist of items that you might think about but not actually do. And it was something for us to follow along the taper process. And it was things as simple as turning off your cell phone at 8 p.m., you know, walking slower around campus, like seeing if you can walk less, managing your food intake. So on days that you're training less, you probably don't need to eat, you know, overeat. You know, on days that you're racing, make sure you're getting the proper recovery and enough calories there. So, you know, that good mix of carbs and protein that you need to really recover your body. But just simple things like that, easy things. Make sure you're sleeping in your own bed. Make sure you're keeping your legs up as much as possible. And I think when you put, you know, it's not that you need to be too focused on any one of these things, but when you put all those puzzle pieces together in the best way you can, I think some pretty magical things can happen at the end of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for that tip.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I guess we are out of time. Thank you so much, Chuck Cadis, and best of luck with your swimming career and your company, BODBOX.
Thank you. Same to you, Simon, and I'll be sure to be watching you through ACCs and NC2As, et cetera.
All right. Have a good one, Chuck.
You too, man. Thank you.